Jesus said to you, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What measure are you using? When you go through life, do you take a big scoop of this or a pinch of that in dealing with the situations that arise from day to day? Whether it's an indigent who shows up here at the doors of the congregation asking for a handout, whether it's a neighbor whose need has just become known to you, whether it's a nation that has suffered a tremendous calamity. Just look at the news, look around this country. The devastation of flooding and of tornadoes, the ongoing droughts. Too much water here, too little there. What can you give? What can you do? But God's not asking you to keep score in your giving and what Jesus says right there. And really, the more important thing is what he says before give. It's, of course, forgive. And judge not, and you will not be judged. However, some take this as a command to Christians not to be discerning, not to decide between good and evil, not to stand in judgment on the actions or the words of others around them. But again, what measure are you using? Are you judging according to your own standards? Are you judging according to community standards? Or are you judging according to the Word of God? And as you judge, are you judging others more harshly than you judge yourself? That's the measure you're using. If you look at your neighbor and say, my neighbor's sin is 10 or 20 or 30 or 1,000 times bigger than mine, what measure are you using, and with what measure will it be repaid? Do you want that judgmentalism, that comparison, that seeing the speck and missing the log to be your repayment? Do you want to tell God how to judge your life? To judge it harshly, rigidly, unbendingly? Do you want to tell God that you don't want God to forgive you because your sin is too big, too nasty, too ugly? That's what Jesus is talking about there with the speck and the log. If you go back to your King James, it was the mote and the beam. Like a little bit of sawdust that comes up when you're working in the wood shop versus an entire 2x4. Now you can still see, even if you're blinking and trying to get that little bit of sawdust out. But there ain't no seeing around a 2x4, and that's maybe a conservative judgment. If you really look honestly at your old heart, maybe it's a railroad tie. Maybe at times it's an entire redwood tree. And if you're judging others and saying, well, that sin is too bad, too ugly, too nasty, without judging yourself and allowing God to speak clearly to your own heart, then you're inviting him to judge you with the same harshness, the same mercilessness, pitilessness. It's not what you want to invite into your life. Because the blessings of forgiveness that are poured out in your lap and pressed down and running over, that's how measures were done many times. You would hold your robes out and they would pour them full. We get that image in the book of Ruth when she brings the harvest home after the gleaning. And so here, you sit down, and it's poured in there, and shoved down, and more added to it, like Boaz did to Ruth, out of love and kindness for her, and caring for her widowed mother-in-law. That's what you want. You want God's mercy, his blessing, his forgiveness, and his peace to be overflowing. You can't hold on to all of it. But if you wish to hoard it for yourself and not give as you have been given, you'll find a different weight pressed down on you. An oppressed conscience. A diminished ability to love and thus to be loved. And if you're not careful, the ultimate condemnation. Exile from God forever. And damnation. What measure are you using? That's a good question to ask as we see some of the decisions that have been coming down out of Washington, as well as those that are made on the state and local level. We disagree in many things with the way our society goes. But are we disagreeing because of a personal ick factor? Because of a personal, well, that's worse than my sin? Or is it simply, purely, and completely on the Word of God? Some sinners are more flagrant and in your face. Some sins are sins we would never consider, let alone commit. But we have our own sins that others would neither consider nor commit. Yet, the entire law condemns us if we would live, and ultimately if we would judge only according to it. Yet it's necessary, because we cannot truly live unless we are truly brought to death, and we need God to, as he did in our baptisms, completely slay that old sinful self. Put to death that evil creature that we were born as and that we live as, that we might rise up anew and truly alive, forgiven, redeemed, restored. You don't want God to measure out your forgiveness and the love he has for you, pinch by pinch, piece by piece, while weighing you down with strict and just punishment for each and every one of your indiscretions, infractions, lapses, or just dirty, rotten, ugly, damnable sins. Because we will all too often use just those words. I made a mistake. Or I forgot. Or it's no big deal. That's the log that we can't see in our own eye. And finally, though Jesus speaks of taking it out, we know that he is the only one who can take it out. He must remove the log from your eye as well as the speck from your neighbor's. And he does it because of the log to which he was strapped, nailed down, and put to death. What measure did he use? He looked at the entire history of humanity from Adam and Eve until the end. He looked at the creation that he was involved in its forming and is involved in its sustenance and in its end and its new beginning. And while he might have said in judgment, it's not worth it, they are not worth it, in love, in kindness, he said, they are worth it. You are worth it. Even without any intrinsic worth, he was already assigning a value to you. He was judging you, not as the damnable worms that Scripture tells us we are, but as the beautiful creatures the children of God, the saints that Scripture also tells us that we are. And he was putting in action and living out that plan of salvation that had been framed from all eternity. Judging you according to his mercy. Judging you as he did those surrounding the cross. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Was there any log blinding Jesus when he looked at you and your sins, which are many, and saw absolutely none? He was only blinded by love. Yet at the same time as he lived his life, Jesus did judge. He said, do this and don't do that. He said, that's right and that's wrong. And so his followers, using his standards and the standards of the scriptures, which are him also. For if he is the Word made flesh, the Word in print, the Word read and spoken and preached, is also him for his world. And if we cannot dominate the world and change the world, so be it. We aren't here to be the world's moral authorities. We are here to be light and salt. To live by conscience, yes, but even more so to live by grace. Because our consciences can be mistaken and misguided and absolutely flat out wrong. But our Lord, our God, our Savior is never wrong. Never misguided, never short-sighted. And if Scripture says it's a sin, it's a sin. And if Jesus says it is forgiven, it is forgiven. And that's what we live by. That's the measure that we use. That's what we pour out for others. We won't change the world, whether by our own lives or collective life as the church. Certainly not by working within government. Some trust in horses, some trust in princes, some trust in the Word of God. A God who didn't strike Adam and Eve dead in the garden, and a God who hasn't struck you dead because of your sins, but rather who allows you to live, who took on human flesh and lived for you, lived out the life that you could never live, and then it gave you the benefits, pressed down and overflowing. So if you're going to judge, use the measure that you wish to be judged by. Use the Word of God, written, proclaimed, and especially living, breathing, bleeding, dying, and risen again to live to all eternity, Word of God. Use Christ. Use his word. Use his love, his life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection as your measure, as your guide, as your means of evening the score. And even it by the same love of God in Christ Jesus that belongs to you by grace. And receive still more grace upon grace, and forgiveness upon forgiveness, and life upon this life unto life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. That peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.